Hallelujah. I'm the last person. I have a special number. I'm the last. After I listened to the testimony of a young woman that called me from Canada earlier in the day, Sudanese. And told me her testimony. It moved me so much that when, after listening to her, when we finished the phone talk, I didn't know where. I just realized I was on my knees asking God to have mercy on me. Because every day we understand the mercy of God more and more. That God can reach down and visit such a person with the kind of lifestyle she lived. Praise the Lord. So this song came to my mind. It's our hymn, in our hymns, 133. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above gave me peace, joy and love when he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me, I was near despair. When he came to me there, and he showed me that I could be free, then he lifted my feet, gave me glory complete. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached down his hands for me, oh yes, I was lost and undone without God and his son. Oh yes, how my heart doth rejoice since I made him my choice. From the tempest to him now I flee. Oh yes, now I live on his hand. I'm secure from all harm since he reached down his hand for me. I take the next stanza. Since the Lord gave me peace, heavenly joys never cease. Lord, I give all my life unto thee. Guide my feet, hold my hand, grant with thee I may stand. For he reached down his hands for thee. Oh, when he reached down his hands for me, when you reach down his hands for me, I was lost and unknown without God or his son. When you reach down his hands for me, the testimony of a believer. Hallelujah. The testimony of a believer. Praise the Lord. If you will never appreciate salvation until you look back to where you were and where you will have ended up. Many of us have hope now that never had hope before. Praise God. Appreciate God every day. Always remember, I tell everybody, nobody is going to heaven because he was a worker in a church. Amen. Nobody is going to heaven because he was a Jew. Many Jews will not go there. Many will not go there. Praise God. Amen. You will go to heaven because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. How many have him tonight? How many? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. It's like there are many casualties after the program. Many casualties. They said they don't know we have vigil tonight. I thought we announced that we are coming back tonight. Okay, those of you who are here, I decided I would use tonight after such a program to take some questions, hear some experiences, then we continue with the fire. Hallelujah. We continue with the fire. Praise the Lord. So if you have any question, our online members, can we greet them? Can we greet our online members? Greet them all over the world. What do we say? Shalom, shalom, shalom to the whole world, their bride worldwide. God bless you. Yes, if you have any question, if I are the one I cannot answer, I return you to sender. Yes, let me have your questions. The phone number is on the screen. Those of you online, you want to call. Your experiences after the program, no question. They're not going to stand up now. When they don't tire, then they will stand up, they come. Okay, let's assume there's no question. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Thank you very much for no question. Open 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank God there's no question tonight. Thank God there's no question. For the first time, no question in Bride Assembly. We are moving forward. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. I read it in the name of Jesus. Everybody, we should read that together. Shall we go? Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesies. Can we read it again, everybody? Despise not prophesying. Okay, only verse 19. Everybody, let's go. Quench. Now, it's a commandment. Turn to your neighbor and say, quench not the spirit. Touch five people around you. Warn them. Quench not the spirit. Warn them very well. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There are several ways the spirit can be quenched. At least from that statement, you know the spirit can be quenched. Quench not the spirit, it means don't stop the revival. I shared this on Sunday as a closing remark from the program. I want to repeat it for emphasis. You have received the Holy Ghost. You are receiving a revival. There's a revival that is going on now. There's a revival that is going on now. And this revival is worldwide. Worldwide.
If you still have your question, please indicate. Those of you online especially, you call or you send your text. We will read it and answer your questions. You have experiences you may want us to explain for you. Now, when you say quench not the spirit, I say it is with reference to the revival that is going on now. And you may not understand what is going on because some of you just moved from your denominational churches, Pentecostal churches, and you already used to the move of the Spirit there, and you came into the entire message through this church, and you just seem to continue with the move of the Spirit. But generally, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, who God used to bring forth this end time message. The end time message says, come out of the denominational era and come back to Bible Christianity. Come back to the apostolic faith. And that is supposed to be the message. But a group of people received it. Hallelujah. A group of people received this message, and somehow they did not handle it well. And it looks as if there is no such message existing. But for all these years, since the 70s, this message came into this country shortly after the death of William Branham. It has gone under. But God is reviving it again. Hallelujah. And we have evidence to show. You are the evidence. Amen. People are receiving the Holy Ghost and the gifts are manifesting. The revival is going on. Quench not the Spirit. Shortly after, we will show you how the Spirit can be quenched. Under the sermon I titled The Enemies of Revival. The Spirit can be quenched. Do everything to keep the fire going. Do everything to keep the fire burning. Amen. Satan will come after you, but let him not succeed. I am the evidence that it cannot succeed. Praise God. So let me take some questions. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My question is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, down to 10. When he said to Jeremiah, I know you before you were born. I know who you are before I put you in your mother's womb. Then I am sending you to the world, and I'm giving you the word that you must speak. Then Jeremiah was afraid and said, Father, but I am too young. He said to him, do not say you are too young, but you must go and speak the word that I must put in your mouth. Now, my question from there is, how would somebody know that God has put in the word in his mouth? And how to stand proud to speak fearlessly?
Praise God. How will you know that God has put the word in your mouth?
Yes.
Number one, God will tell you that I am going to put my word in your mouth.
Yes. Evidence to make it very clear, because it comes in many ways. Not some people, like my spiritual director said, that we are all called to serve God, but not only as a priest. So how would we know in many areas And when will you be, when will it be very clear to you that this is where and how I should go on with my work?
You see, you gave an example of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told by God that he will use him. Jeremiah said he was too small. And by God, he said, don't mind your age, that he will put his word in his mouth. First and foremost, you must receive assurance through your ears from God that he will put his word in your mouth. There was a time that God put his word in the mouth of an animal, and the animal spoke the word of God. When God decides to use you, even to speak, he will put in your mouth. When he says, I put something in your mouth, that means he will tell you what to say. That's what it means. Do you understand? If I tell you this, listen.
Praise the Lord. It was put into me under more that I will say that Pastor Moses loves me. And it was how he said it to me. And he said that I must speak. And I am speaking to you all that he said that he loves me.
That is how God puts his word in our mouths.
But how can somebody recognize the fear? Because it doesn't come in a simple way. How can a woman recognize the fear of the word of God and be carried out?
When God wants to use you, he will do it in such a way that you can perform. He won't make you fear so that you cannot talk.
But are there some who understand or who are going to come out when they receive a terrifying situation, like in the life of Jonah? Many come out when it's very...
Don't use Jonah.
Okay, sir.
You know why you don't use Jonah? Jonah was not terrified.
But he argued to go, he argued never to go on time. But when he received
go and read the story again.
Sir?
You don't understand the story of Jonah. Jonah was not afraid. Jonah did not... The story of Jonah is to make us understand God's mercy. Jonah felt that they were too sinful for God to send him to. Why should they repent? God should just destroy them. Because even after he was forced to go, and he gave the message, and then they all fasted and asked for mercy, and God forgave them. Jonah was angry that God forgave them. So that's why I said don't use Jonah. So who else was afraid?
Now that is all my question, but that what I want to speak to them through that area.
Speak to who?
To the people.
Who put that word in your mouth?
It is God.
God.
The word came from God.
No, I said you should ask me a question. I didn't say you should come and speak to the people. If you want to preach,
I want them to know the power that I'm talking about, that God put.
No, I told you to come out and ask me a question.
Thank you.
I didn't say you should come and preach. Any day you want to preach, come and let me know. Then I'll give you pulpit. Yes,
yeah.
Sister.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
Okay.
Somebody is on the air. Yes.
Hello.
You too, hello.
Oh, yeah, all right. My name is Sister Margaret from UK. And last week, Pastor says he's going to teach people how to use their gift. And I find myself one time when the pastors were praying, and I was watching the screen, and something like electric hit me from in my seat. And I felt like I wanted to fall, but I composed myself. Ever since then, if I'm praying by myself, I feel like electric shock. All my body, like I just get like a grip electric shock. And I try to pray for somebody, and I just feel like electric shock, like from my hand entering the person, and the person will be vibrating. And I get very scared. Why is this like happening? And sometimes my ear will be paining me. I don't know what to do with all this.
Margaret from UK, God bless you. Yes, I promise that we will say something concerning the gifts. We will continue to say it because the last program we had, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we expect a lot of manifestations. And this is an area that not too many preachers, especially in the end time message, are familiar with. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lets us know different manifestations, but the same spirit. Different operations. Can we read it? Verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4 and 5 and 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that manifestation. Then we have administration, then we have operation. Different administration, different operation, and then different manifestation, but the same Spirit. Now listen carefully. When you are just receiving the Holy Ghost, the way God ministers the Spirit upon us, He administers the Spirit. People, He does not administer it in the same way on everybody. If I say receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who will lay hand on you to receive the Holy Ghost, four of you could be sitting down there praying the same prayer point, but in ministering it to you, He may minister it to you in four different ways. Somebody may be slain as if all your bones have been removed. You just crash like that and you are there like that. He is administering the Holy Ghost. The other one may be there just shaking and just shaking and shaking. Another one may just be shouting and just shouting. Then the other one, only tears may just be coming out of the eyes. That is his own way of ministering it. Different ways that he does it. No two people receive the same way. Somebody may just see a ball of fire that come and hit you. You don't know what happened again. And things like that. Now, but most of the time, as I have studied the past years, 17 years of pastoring this ministry and enjoying these manifestations, I have studied enough to see that every gift, I mean, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the manifestation always comes in the area that your gifts we burst forth later. If you come receiving the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues, two gifts, either of these two gifts or both of them will manifest later. One, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy where the power of God comes upon you, and then you begin to give thoughts, said the Lord. And the Spirit of God speaks through you. Or, By that gift, you go into the intercessory ministry, an intercessor. Because when there is a matter and a burden comes upon you, you pick up anybody, you pray, and before you know what, the Holy Ghost takes over. And such a person handles any matter, the matter must be solved. Because you now handle it, not in the flesh anymore, the Spirit takes over and prays exactly according to the will of God. Those of us who feel fire sensation around you, sometimes you see your hand just shaking and vibrating. Later on, it bursts into a gift. Always healing. It becomes a sign for you. When you have, what do you call, there are different ones. I don't know which one again. Your ear. Immediately you receive the Holy Ghost, you find noise. From that day you begin to hear, when the atmosphere changes, you begin to hear noise like that in your ear. Always, later on, you will be hearing voice. The Holy Ghost will be speaking to you. You will hear His voice loud and clear like that. Your eye, you begin to feel sometimes like a migraine headache. Your forehead, your eyes, you begin to feel that sensation there. Always, that eye will soon be seeing vision. And many others, I don't know which other one again. There are so many. Different ones, all the gifts, you know, will be manifesting like that. So, Sister Margaret from UK, you have already even confirmed it. It is for healing. Later on, you get used to that sign. And then you will know, when that sign comes, you will know there is a sick person that God wants to heal. And you lay a hand on that person. You don't pray that prayer two times. That person receives healing. I hope I am clear with us, Sister Margaret. Can we clap our hands again? Thank you. Okay. Let's hear you.
Praise the Lord, church. Daddy, please, my questions are personal questions, but still pertaining to the Holy Ghost.
I will answer you personally too.
Okay, sir. There is this life reoccurring revelations I've been having. The first one was, or let me say is, because it keep occurring.
No, wait. So that we can make it more meaningful, this session, I cannot interpret your dreams. So, don't, if you wonder, you have to seek a session with me where we can sit down and then I can hear your dreams, and then if I can interpret it, I give interpretation. If I don't know it, I'll tell you myself, I don't know what it is. You know, it's not every dream that has an interpretation. Okay, it depends on your mood sometimes. There are some dreams when somebody called me, they narrate. You don't get head, you don't get tail, you don't even get center. So I need to talk with you. If that is what you want to narrate, we can use this type of session for it. I want you to ask me scriptural things, or doctrinal things, or experiences that you want to understand, but certainly not dream or revelation for me to give you interpretation. Because it will be you, personal, not general. God bless you.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, ask your question now, if it is general.
Okay.
If it is personal, I can always see you.
Sir, there is this particular revelation I've been having. It concerns war in all over the world and the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right from my childhood, at least I'm not mistaken, from the age of 5, I started being conscious of that, and it keeps reoccurring. Then secondly, there is this reoccurrence of an experience I had. The first one was at the age of 7. I was still less than 8 years when it occurred. One of my aunts was asking me a question, and immediately I turned to respond to her. She screamed that my eyes were blazing with fire. And I was like, you know, I was just so dumbfounded. I continued with what I was doing. Then after, about 15 years later, then I was in higher institution. One of the lecturers then that was disturbing me, he was asking me a question. As I turned to answer him, the same scream and statement he made. About 5-6 years later, at work, my boss was asking me a question. As I turned to ask, you know, to answer him, the same scream, you know, and statement that my eyes were blazing with fire. Now I want to know, sir,
which fire is that?
No, sir, it became an embarrassing thing to me. Because one of the times I was undergoing...
If I were you, there are people that have seen all manner of things around me. Many places I go, and they tell me this, tell me that, say, now you see. I'll be worried if I am the one that saw it and I don't understand. But now you see. So go ask God, waiting there for this. I will not be worried. Because to start with, if you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received a fire. If you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received a fire. And when two powers jam, there must be a reaction somewhere. If I were you, it will make me to walk more confidently. They see me, so I carry fire. I will not be worried. Because our God is a consuming fire. And if he dwells in me, then you will see that fire. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. So, Daddy, my question from it is that you know, eye blazing fire, is it the impartation of the Holy Spirit or is it a supernatural power? And if it's Holy Spirit or supernatural power, why is it that I'm not, you know, exercising it? Why have
why
I not...
Why are you not exercising fire?
No, I mean...
I want to understand your question.
No, Daddy, why I ask that question is...
Every Christian... Every true Christian, listen, every true Christian carry a glory. God manifests that glory to whosoever he wants to see in various ways. Some may look at you and see a light. Some will see a fire, depending on what God wants to show that person concerning you. But certainly, there is a glory around us. That is the glory that Satan sees and knows you belong to him, to Jesus. Every one of us, we have it. So don't be afraid. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, brother.
Then, Daddy, I still have one more.
The last
question.
One.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Then, there is this, this experience I had one of the time was undergoing self-deliverance. I was in the heat of the prayer when my voice suddenly changed to that. I heard a poof sound as if a busted balloon. And suddenly I heard my voice was so thick and loud like that of a man's own. And I screamed, Jesus. I jumped out, you know, I wanted to run. And a hand, you know, held me there. And the voice I heard was, where do you think you're running to? What if you're struck down by the Holy Spirit? What will you do? Who will save you? So I became afraid. In fact, I opened my eyes. I was just shivering. You know,
So what's your question?
My question is, if that was Holy Ghost, why is it that, I don't really know how to put the question.
You don't understand that experience?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what happened to you.
Yes, up till now, the mystery of it is what I'm here to understand.
Now, this is very simple. When you go home, tell the Lord, is it you that came that day? If it is you, confirm it again. And you will get the answer. Simple. Yes.
Shalom, church. I want to congratulate every one of us for the success of the June camp.
Amen.
Anytime I pass through this type of exercise, I always have my utterances changed and have the same experience. And also, my question, I've had that experience and some other also have it. That is, as a Christian, at times you dream, you see your inner man doing what you don't do in your real life. My question is...
You mean your spirit man?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay.
What could be responsible for this? That is number one question. And again, in such a situation, you try to decode it. You don't know what to do about it. That is my first question, sir.
You, for instance, physically, maybe physically you don't fornicate. Then in the dream, you find yourself fornicating. Now, there are two ways to look at it. And we must be very sensitive. As a Christian, and I know I am not physically a fornicator, for instance. Then I see myself in a dream fornicating. Me, as a person, I will immediately go to see that God is trying to show me something. Let me give you an example. Years back, I was going around in my ministry years back before this church started, prison ministry, and then I find myself in Asaba. And a particular ministry, a particular church there that received us, they were wonderful people. Very wonderful. I fell in love so much with them. Their headquarters was in Lagos here. And then I had the tape. I was in the pastor's house and they were playing a video of a message their leader preached. And I got so worried. And then, I got so interested. And then that night they put us in a hotel. I had a dream. Imagine me, I'm in the missionary field. And then I found myself flirting with my friend's wife. And I was very worried. When I came out of that revelation, it was a dream. In the night, I was very worried. Even as an unbeliever, I wouldn't do that. To flirt with my friend's wife, a very beautiful, pretty woman, but it's a friend's wife, in real life. And while I was getting worried, the interpretation came that woman is that church that I was flirting with, another person's wife. I understood that immediately and I asked God, forgive me. I took off. The pastor called me an ugly answerer. I cut off from them. Because by that dream, I was flirting with a woman. Woman is church. My association with a woman. I got that revelation. Now, if there's somebody who is not well schooled in interpreting dream, I will say, spiritual wife. You see, now, the same thing in every other area. When you find yourself, for instance, You are maybe eating and eating. Learn to give spiritual meanings to dreams. But of course, if before you slept, some bad thoughts were your mind, you watched some filthy dream and you sleep, you will continue with what you watched in your dream. So you don't need interpretation. So that is how you note physically, I am not like this. But in the spirit, why am I like this? Try to give. Sometimes it tells you your spiritual estate. God bless you.
Okay. The second question, sir, is similar but a bit not the same. Like when you go through a program like this, maybe 7 days, maybe 10 days, how many days prayer and fasting? You see, after you break, during the fasting, you don't have any bad dream or any whatever. But you discover that maybe the second day after you finish that fasting, you see an evil spirit coming to do one thing or the other, especially to take away that little anointing or power or whatever you got during that season. What somebody do to stop that or to avoid that?
Now, I want you to also note that fasting period is a period that you are most sensitive in the spirit. A fasting period, if it is a spiritual fast, is a period that you are spiritually very, very sensitive. So, and then that is also the period that God uses the opportunity to open your spirit man to see your environment, to see your estate. Yes, God can let you an opportunity for you to know a spirit that you need to fight. So that in that estate of fasting, the period you are, it gives you a prayer point. Because that spirit may have been around disturbing you and you didn't know because of your spiritual estate. So when you are fasting, every experience you have becomes a prayer point. That is what it's supposed to mean.
My question, sir, is that after that fasting period, you experience this type of a thing. Maybe most especially to many people, you see any evil spirit coming to fornicate with individual, to drain away that power. What can one do to prevent such thing?
I say it's a prayer point.
Okay.
You fight it. I've answered you. Okay. Fight it. Like you come to church. You come to church now. Now pray, I come pray now. See. Don't be prayer, you come pray. Now sleep, you come sleep. Answer me now. What do you come for?
You come to pray. You come to pray.
Now, but you are doing something contrary to what you came here for. So that is prayer point. Next person.
That's a good thing, sir.
God bless you.
My question is John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24.
What does it say?
He's talking about that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. John chapter 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So my question is it a dream worship like this, or like a Sunday service, or or is it all the days of my life I should always be in a spirit? Or is it the dream prayer, all this? I want to know.
The usage of the word worship there also connotes service, serving God. We are to serve Him in spirit and in truth. It connotes following Him. It connotes that is
okay. Service, all in service
is serving God. Once you have given your life to Christ, anything else you do is a service to God, and it must give Him honor, and it must glorify Him. By so doing, you are worshiping Him. And anything you want to do to the glory of God, you must do it in spirit always. And in truth.
Always.
Always, 24 hours. In spirit and in truth. Yes.
Praise God.
There's a question on the screen. Rosemary Agumba from London. Shalom, church. During the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second day, as we were praying, Pastor was ministering the Holy Ghost. I saw myself crying, and I can't stop it. I tried, but couldn't. My question is that Holy Ghost fire? Holy Ghost fire. Is that the Holy Ghost? That is the Holy Ghost. It is a manifestation of the Spirit. Tears, you were not crying. You just saw tears coming out of your eyes, and you can't stop it. That was the same way I received the Holy Ghost in 1989. The day I gave my life to Christ, I was kneeling at the altar. Tears were coming out. I was battling. What is this? What is this? I didn't want people to see. People would think that I'm crying. You know? The more I tried to clean it, the more the tears came out. I didn't understand what it was until years later. But I know that after that day, my life changed. That is the important thing. That's how I know it was the Holy Ghost I received. And after that, long after that, any day I thought of the bad life I lived before and how God did not allow me to die in that estate, and His mercy still found me. Once I just meditate on it, tears will still come out of my eyes. So, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. That was the Holy Ghost. Congratulations, all the way from UK. You know, I received a message, Brother Lucky from France, Paris, France. I know you are watching us now. And he said he has a sister who never ever believed that you can receive from the television. So they all sat down ready for Holy Ghost in their sitting room, in their house, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The sister, they have them. So waiting until they sit down now. No one received for television. And he said as soon as the ministration started, the team packed that sister. And she scattered the whole house. Let's clap our hands, our God. Amen. So, Brother Lucky, if you are watching us and you have credit on your phone, can you call and confirm the number on the screen? Yes, the next person.
Praise God. The question I'm about to ask.
Another caller, yes? Somebody's on the line. From where? Yes. Amen. I didn't get that question. Can some God?
Is it possible for God to give someone that?
Sure, it's very possible. Things happen in the spirit first before they manifest physically. Very, very possible. Anytime you do what? Yes. You always feel if. Okay. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Yes. When you are in the spirit, the deep, call it to the deep. Thank you, brother. There will be a response. When you are connected on the what do you call him? In the house of Cornelius, while Peter was still speaking, there was a connection and the power of God came down. Praise God. So it is still happening now. You are not the only one. So many people everywhere, all around the world. Now your first question, I don't know, I need to see the map. How far is Holland from France? I think the Shia border. The Shia border. So Sister Blessing in from France. I'll be in Holland, God willing, by the end of August. For a program there, and then you can join us there and we shall baptize you. For now, I don't know anybody in France that can baptize you. But if we get any other person there, I know there are some message churches there, I'll try to get their addresses, but I am not connected with anyone there. The church I had program with last year was a denominational church, though we baptized some people. I will also try to contact him if he himself can handle your case, but better still meet with me in Holland, Amsterdam. We will announce the venue and the exact date shortly. God bless you. Sorry, is it
not nearer Milan than Holland?
Okay. France is nearer Milan.
Yes.
Okay. I will also be in Milan, in Italy. So, any of them, the nearest one to you, meet us there. Either Milan or Amsterdam. Yes.
Praise God. The question I'm to ask was, somebody asked me the question, and I told him I cannot answer it. He said, whenever he's in church, he's always a kind of dull. But he do went outside there to take something to, you know, to make him feel high. And then...
It's always what?
He's always a kind of shy, or he's always down shy whenever he's in the church. He doesn't.
So
he cannot pray God. He cannot pray God the way he feels.
He will go out and take Igbo.
I don't know what he's taking, but that's what he told me. He said he will go out there and make himself being comfortable and kind of high. And when he came back in the church,
take some shots of Ogogoro.
I don't even know what he's taking. I don't know what he's taking right now. But
so what's your question?
My question is, he was now asking me that. Is it right that because whenever he's taking those things and came back to the church, he'll be more okay, as in he'll be praising God to another, you know, higher esteem, you know, that he'll be praising God, he'll not be tired. That.
What is your question?
The question is, he asked me if it's good. I said, I don't know. I want to now ask the question, how? Is he okay?
You have already known what gets him high. It's not the Holy Ghost that gets him high. It is the thing that he went to take that gets him high. That's not the Holy Ghost exciting him. It is what he has taken. He's a drunkard. Yes. Okay, Sister Flores from South Africa. Shalom, sir, please. I want to know if speaking in tongues while praying without understanding the meaning, is it right? Because under prayers, I do speak in different tongues, and I don't understand what I am saying. Let the scripture answer you. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I think Apostle Paul says something about that. Yes, good morning. Oh, Brother Lucky, yes. You want to confirm the testimony? Tell us. Yeah, let's hear you. What happened to your sister? Let's hear you. Tell us the testimony. She's there with you. Tell us what happened that day. Shalom. Congratulations for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Clap your hands now. Okay, I was trying to answer a question. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the sister from South Africa. Verse 13, he says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Then he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. If you go to verse 28, it says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now go to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Take note that by the time you are speaking in tongues in your private prayers, the Spirit takes over. That is why you are now praying in tongues. That time it is now an action of the Holy Ghost. It is not a message you are given. So that becomes a supernatural action. But there is always an effect of that. One, your spirit man is built up. Because the power of God comes regularly on you like that. Your body goes under, your spirit man comes up. And I want you to note something very important. Almost every one of us that speak in tongues, take note of this. When suddenly you find yourself speaking in tongues like that, most of the time, you will also see vision at the same time. As you are speaking in tongues, you don't know what you are saying, but you will be seeing some things. And always, what you are saying is related to what you are seeing. And that is why you can therefore, you know, sometimes you now give a revelation of what you see. So for intercession, sometimes you could just maybe confirm this, for instance. If it is somebody you know, suddenly you were praying your prayer, suddenly the spirit takes over and you are speaking in tongues. Then a vision of a brother or a sister comes up. Now you may not know what is wrong with him, but the vision comes forth. And you just speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And then when the anointing leaves you, the vision also leaves. Get in touch with that person. And ask him, at so hour, what was happening to you? Always, he will tell you either at that instance he received a healing, or he was in some danger that somehow supernaturally he escaped. Then you know God raised you to intercede for him. It happens. God bless you. Who's calling? Yes, sister.
Shalom, Daddy.
Shalom.
Sir, please, I want to ask you a question about Holy Ghost.
Another call. Germany. Go on your question, brother. Who? Fidelis, go ahead. Praise God. The Holy Ghost does not come to see you. The Holy Ghost is already with you. The Holy Ghost is always with you. It's always in you. Now listen, church. God does not want us to depend on sensation when dealing with him. God does not want you to depend on sensation. God is around only if I begin to feel vibration. If I feel hot, then I know that it's around. If I feel breeze, if not, I continue to pray, never come. Where you go? It's always with you. The church shall live by faith, not by sensation. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So sometimes when God sees that you are depending too much on this sensation, he will stop that sensation on you. So that you can move by faith. If not, danger, you face a danger, you will not pray. Somebody is dying, you say, well, I never feel God never come. Where you go? Praise God. So it is also God's way of training you. And sometimes you manifest, sometimes you don't manifest, but it's always there. And learn to exercise faith. Learn to exercise faith. God bless you. Yes.
Daddy, I'm asking a question about Holy Ghost. I discovered that some ministry, they don't used to call Holy Ghost. Even when you attend the ministry, when you're about to call maybe Holy Ghost Fire, they will tell you that they don't call Holy Ghost here. So I keep on wondering, what did the Holy Ghost, I can't understand the meaning of Holy Ghost.
No.
So I say one day.
Who will you be again?
Hello.
Igbo people. For Cote d'Ivoire. You're welcome.
Shalom.
Hello. You're on air.
Hello. Shalom, God. Yeah, my name is Shalom. I'm going to come in.
I carry baby.
Hello.
Somehow I carry what? Baby. I wish I could hear you clearer, but I hear the one who concerns my wife. If you see my wife carry baby, then she will soon be a grandmother with that. Maybe she will soon be a grandmother. Okay. Listen. Those of you who have these experiences, this is how you check it. Once it is not anything contrary to the scripture, don't be worried. If it says something and it comes to pass, that is the gift of faith. The gift of faith says it and it comes to pass. Especially when you say it under serious, under an anointing, in an atmosphere like that, or something, you know, causes you to spontaneously say something like that. It must come to pass. It's a gift of faith. You say it, you go your way. The Lord Jesus Christ is sizing before that fig tree. No man eateth fruit from thee. And that's what the thing dried up. That same gift is still available now. God bless you. Sorry, sister. Please, allow us hear this, sister. And two times now, and don't stop up.
So, Daddy, I say one day I will ask you about that, the meaning of the Holy Ghost, because I discovered.
Yeah, the meaning of Holy Ghost.
There is some ministry you will enter when you call Holy Ghost fire. They will tell you they don't call Holy Ghost fire in their ministry. So, I keep on wondering the meaning of Holy Ghost or Holy Ghost is, in fact, I can't understand.
You see, when you meet carnal people holding spiritual things, there will be confusion. There is an enter message pastor that was speaking against the anointing that is in this church. He said that, according to him, he said in the Bible, all the spirits, according to him, I'm not sure he has read the Bible enough. He said that every spirit that met with Jesus Christ, it bowed down, it went forward. But in brother assembly, then they fall down for back. Therefore, it cannot be the spirit of God. And then another one says that the Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit. Why is it that people are manifesting and scattering everywhere? He said that cannot be the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is gentle. So what comes to my mind is Jesus Christ, the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Tell that pastor to come and hold fire, and then he will be gentle. Let him hold fire, then he will be gentle. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost is described as wine. Then let that person be drunk. When he's drunk, then he is gentle. You see, people who don't know. Now, first and foremost, what is a ghost? What is a ghost?
So actually, I don't know.
Eh?
Actually, I don't know.
No, it's an English word. What is a ghost?
A ghost is a spirit.
Eh?
For me,
the spirit of a dead man is called what? It's a ghost. So the spirit of a holy man, what will you call him? Eh? So who is the Holy Ghost? It's the spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. When they don't know, they don't know what they are saying. Anytime you say Holy Ghost, you are calling the spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. And that is why he told his disciples, wait first. The promise of the Father. Unless I go before you will come. Praise God. Because it was his spirit. That spirit, the Bible says in John chapter 19, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. That ghost is what came down on the day of Pentecost. It is his spirit. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of Christ. And what is the spirit of Christ? It is that spirit that came down in him and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because Christ is God's dwelling place, the temple of God. And God is a spirit. And God is holy. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of God. God himself. The tabernacle in Christ. Hallelujah. And he released him to come and dwell in all of us. So anytime you say Holy Ghost, is the spirit of God himself coming down. That same spirit that was in Christ. God bless you. And he has fire. The spirit of God is not another God. It's the same God of Israel. And Elijah called fire from God. He called down fire from God. And God is a spirit. Therefore, that fire is which fire? It's the fire of the Holy Ghost. So it is Holy Ghost fire. Forget all these blind, carnal people who are trying to handle spiritual things. Okay, yes.
Shalom, church.
Shalom to you.
Sir, I learned that demons are spirits. But my question goes like this. Whenever we pray and we say fire, fire, die, referring to a particular demon,
it's like somebody's on the line. We're not hearing you. Oh, yeah, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Does the fire or the killing, does it have any effect on that demon or the particular situation? Because demons are immortal, and I believe immortal cannot die. So whenever we say fire or scream, referring the demon to die, does it have any effect on that, on such demon?
Listen. We listen very well. We have spirits. Sometimes it depends on what we mean when we use the word demons. Demons. Anytime we say demons, we refer to evil spirits. That's what comes to our mind. But let me tell you quickly, by my understanding, that demons, they are the invention of evil spirits. When an evil spirit creates something that can torment you, they invent something that can torment you. That thing they throw on you and it gives you problem is the demon sent by an evil spirit. The spirit can never die, but their works as demons can be destroyed. That's what I want you to note. That's why Brother Abraham said, behind every sickness, he said, there is a demon. And so they appear in different forms and different shapes. They are inventions of evil spirits to throw and disturb people. So you can call down fire, and the fire of the Holy Ghost will destroy that demon. But the spirit that sent it there is still alive. It can't die. Until we get to Revelation chapter 20, where they will pack them, put them in the lake of fire. They die, but not now. They will not die now until the lake of fire.
So my next question goes, yes, this way: that, for example, is it proper for sheep to refer their shepherd, like followers to refer to their pastors? Call them daddy. Maybe some of them, you might be older than them, but to call your pastor daddy and the wife mommy. Because I was wondering, if you call your pastor daddy, then what will you call God?
Yes, I do know that Matthew 23 forbids that. But now listen, we must understand the context of the usage of that word. That you should not call no one father. Matthew chapter 23. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 23, verse 9. Okay, from verse 8. 8 and 9. 9, 10. It says, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Now when he said, call ye no man, and call no man your father upon the earth, The man that gave birth to you, won't you call him your father?
Yes,
will
sir.
You go and call the father that gave birth to you on the strength of this scripture? Call him brother.
No, sir.
So you must understand that. Now, Apostle Paul referred to Timothy as my son in the Lord. What will Timothy call him? Who call him his son?
Father, sir.
Eh?
Father.
Why are you not talking confidently?
Father.
So that means we have to understand that context. That the worship you give to the Creator, don't give it to a human being. Praise God.
Then my last question goes.
And please, I want you to take note that cultures also influence this. In the Western world, nobody calls their pastor in America, in all this the Western nation, nobody calls them daddy, mommy. No, these things only in Africa. And I'm sure it started from the Yoruba land. Because the average, that is where you see, you don't see that overseas, where the pastor we call a church member, I want to see, immediately he comes, he kneels down. Now that's a Yoruba culture that connotes respect for the elderly. And it is no sin. It is no sin. It's no worship. In fact, they come and they lie down. When they want to thank you, daddy, that you give me a drink, I can't thank you, sir. I mean, that is the culture. That is all they're exhibiting. And so, we must, you know, differentiate that from worship of a man. But I also know that there are also men of God that have assumed the position of lordship. Them and their wife. And daddy G.O. Mommy G.O. And they accept it. And any man that accepts it is an antichrist. It is wrong to do that. I battle with people a lot in my office. When I send for them, the Yoruba will come and kneel down. The only people that don't worship are Igbo people. They don't worship anybody. They go start kagaraga. Pocket serve, they talk to you. Especially if that man gets money. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when they kneel down, I always feel very embarrassed. I pray, please stand up. Please stand up now. Please stand up. If you don't stand, I won't talk to you. I can't accept worship. I'm not antichrist. You're my brother. You're my sister. All of you that call me daddy, has any of you ever heard me call you my daughter, my son? Have you ever heard me say, hey, that's my daughter, you're my daughter, come. Nothing like that. You're my sister. You're my brother. Nothing beyond that. Praise God. If I call you my daughter, it means I brought you up, you lived with me. All of the ones who live with me, I call them my sons and my daughters. Because I fathered them, I brought them up. But for you, if not Christ link me and you, you're my sister, you're my brother. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
And you should call me brother. Somebody came and said that this way you say we call you brother, no fito. You be daddy, you be daddy. I say, whatever you like, call me. I'm your brother in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then somebody called me and said, why should I answer coming from which country? Why am I answering brother? It's all brother, brother. Why am I not answering either reverend or... So I had to ask him the question. I said, listen very well. I said, brother and reverend, which one is higher? Brother Moses and Reverend Moses, which one is higher? Which one is higher? The man answered me and said, yes, yes, I think you are correct, I think you are correct. I said, I am already answering a higher title than Reverend, Reverend Doctor. I said, it's lack of revelation. I walk by revelation. The title of brother and sister is higher, higher. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you know that Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many. So who is Jesus Christ to me? My elder brother. Amen. He is also my God. He's my prophet. He's my redeemer. He's my everything. So if you call Jesus my elder brother, have you seen? It's revelation. Okay.
So my last question. Is it proper for a prophet or a man of God to discuss with a demon during deliverance?
Well,
is it proper or biblical for a man of God to be conversing with a demon during deliverance?
You know, if you say scriptural, I must give you the scripture. That is, when you say, is it scriptural, it means I should give you scripture that is against it. When you talk to a demon, there must be a reason why you want to talk to a demon. Because there was a time that Jesus asked some demon, how many are you there? Was it not a discussion? And what did they tell him?
Yes, sir.
So they talked. Now, listen. In the Bible, we are given power to cast out spirits. I didn't see where they say we should be discussing. So me, I don't have time to discuss with any demon. Get out! But sometimes when he's talking, I want to listen. But from my personal experience, with deliverance, 90%, I say from my study, 90% of what those spirits are saying, they are lies. Lies, complete lies. Let me tell you why I say this, lies. Praise God. A demon, we are not, Apostle Paul said, we are not unaware of the device. There are two things in deliverance that demons do before they leave the person. Either they will take the person and try to injure you. As this one is now, he will carry on with the head. Or these sanctions that we erected here for our gallery. He will carry you for that iron like this. Make I go before I go and finish you. But if there are coordinators to stop you from injuring, then let me damage your personality. Yes, I am queen of the coast. Yes. I am the one that cover all the family. So that you will have problem with your family. Yes. I am the one that scatter their business. I am the one that scatter. Now trouble in the pool for you. Yes. Any man, I see. After that, which man will come near you? Just to finish you. And blind deliverance ministers. We'll be taking it to show that they are powerful. Not knowing what the devil is doing. Oh, imagine like those pastors who come out and tell young girls and boys to give testimony that they were healed of HIV. Which brother will go and approach and say, I will marry you? It's wrong. So, a proper deliverance minister will not waste time. You don't even have time for such. Discuss what with which devil. And sometimes they do that to weaken you when you are on serious fire for deliverance. Then they go talk so that you go cool down the fire small. Then they are talking. Not the same as tired and they do make the fire cool down. Before you woke up yourself again to enter the spirit to chase you out. You don't cool down small. While the fire is on, praise God. Chase the thing out. And then get out of that place. God bless you. Online, Amarachi from Benue State. Shalom, sir. With all my expectations to receive the Holy Ghost, I did not because there was no sign. Can one receive and not know it? No, if you receive, you must know it. William Branham told us about the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. He was using it to stop the denominations, the lies of the denomination, or calling the attention of the people to sensation. Until there's no sensation, you don't receive the Holy Ghost. Now, the sensation there is that you receive the Holy Ghost and somebody looking at you will see and say something has happened. But now, without sensation, there is that you receive the Holy Ghost and somebody looking at you will not see any visible manifestation. But you will know something has happened to you. Either a peace sweep over you or joy in your heart. Just come like that. It may just be one sweet breeze that just blow past you. Not only you feel it. It didn't throw you down. But after that, something will happen. Now also, receiving the praying for the Holy Ghost is the same thing as praying for any other thing at all. You may receive the Holy Ghost immediately you ask Him. Or you ask Him, it may take some time. He decides at what time to give you. But let me tell you, the evidence of water is the test that we feel. And everyone that is thirsty shall be filled. And so, if you are there desiring the Holy Ghost, it is evidence you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. And God chooses when and how to give you. But I'm telling you, every one of you that participated in this program, we just concluded, be in expectation. It can happen at any time. There's a young girl here, Asinedu, years back, when we have programs like this, and everybody was testifying, she saw all that happened. And she believed God so much, it was so much, Holy Ghost, for months. She will fast, she will do this. And then she started saying, Abi, am I a serpent seed? Why am I not receiving the Holy Ghost? See? And then, so one day she decided, okay, if you like, give me. If you like, don't give me. I don't pray for Holy Ghost again. So she was no longer expecting. On a Sunday like this, I understand later that Nene, where is Nene? Wave your hand, Nene. Nene is there. Nene of old. Oh, how are the mighty falling? She started prophesying at what age, Pastor Thomas? From the age of 11 in this church. That's Pastor Thomas' daughter. She just qualified now as a barrister. Let's clap our hands now. She's now a barrister. Wave your hand now. That's right. At that age, where's the Asinedu I'm talking about? Where is she? No, I saw her today. Eh? Obina, where is she? If she doesn't come here in the next 5 minutes, the Holy Ghost will bring her. In the next 5 minutes, you will pick her on the floor and bring her here. In the next 5 minutes, watch and see what my angel will do with her now. Well, I'm saying something. She was the one. Where is she? You were not in the hall. Where were you? In the office. Take your time. If not, collect my microphone from her hand. Why should you sit in the office? You will tell God, have mercy on me today. She's the one. Suddenly, no, Nene told her that Sunday morning as she was coming to church, Nene went to her. Auntie Asi, today when God go visit you, I go wear white cloth. And she said, hey, come on, give me a chance. That Sunday, something happened. Packed her. All her cloth from white, it turned to brown and black. I'm sure it's a day she will never forget. And from that day, she began to prophesy. God began to use her too. So, it took so many months from the time she started crying. She will cry. Lord, am I a serpent seed? Give me the Holy Ghost. Ask him to have mercy on you. Me, I ask of you, you know, come out. Anybody here? The fire is still on. Okay. Who are asking again? Have you ever seen my angel in action before? Okay. She's married, though. This anointing. Single brother, they follow that anointing as they talk to her. Thank you, Jesus. See, this woman wants to spoil my question and answer now. Please, my offering box. It's okay. Thank you, Lord.
This way, Jesus is passing this way. He's passing this way today. Jesus is passing this way. This way. Jesus. He's passing this way. He's passing this way today. Jesus, he's passing this way.
Just wait before the Lord. This is my earnest cry. Give me the power to be your will.
most high. Give me the power to do your will. Oh, I pray. Sing anointed, Lord, in my life, Lord, far from my head to toe.
Give me the power.
Give me the power to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray.
We are going to worship the Lord. It is when you are worshiping Him, He comes down. Oh, glory be to God. We are going to take a few moments and worship the Lord. Our musicians are ready. We're going to worship Him. If you worship Him, He said, worship and worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. In any grace you have now, when we finish worshiping now, watch your spirit man here now, here now, here now. All of you watching me. All of you watching me, wherever you're watching me from.
Whatever you see.
Wherever you are watching me around the world. Even in that your city room. From wherever you are watching me. No barrier. It's your faith that God.
On Christ the Son, lead rock.
My glory with any demon. Listen, God wants to remove a demon that's been disturbing somebody now. You are Alpha
and Omega. We
open. Somebody's heart is open now to receive. Hey, see my God in action.
Now we bless.
In my cup, Lord,
I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirst of my soul.
Bread of heaven,
give me till
my soul.
Fill my cup,
fill my cup, fill me, Lord, and make me whole.
What do you want God to fill you? He said, fill my cup and make me whole. You are not complete until you have received the carnal life. You are not complete until you have received the Holy Ghost.
Fill my cup, Lord.
Sing it.
I lift it up, Lord.
Come and quench this thirst.
Come and quench the thirsty of my soul.
Say bread from heaven come.
Bread of heaven.
Fill me till I want.
Fill me till I want.
No more.
Fill
my heart. Heal the Lord. And make me
my faith has found a resting place. Lord, in the past, Lord, we are just the earth, valley in war. His words
shall be,
shall be. I need the Lord,
that I need the
Lord, that Jesus died, and that He died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other than me. Jesus
God,
and God is God for me. I need no other. I need no other. I need
no other.
He is
the Lord.
He is the Lord. That Jesus God.
My Father, my God, the people's hearts are open. 21 days we are calling on you, one prayer point. You have not failed us. Church, those of you who are here, people watching us on air are receiving something. What of you that you are here? Somebody here, your own prayer today is, Lord, what happened to me last week? If it is you, confirm it now. And the same thing that happened must happen again. Oh yes, that is our God. We're going to worship the Lord.